There's always that one person who is the calm in the midst of a storm. For White County, it is Emergency Management Director Matt McBride. Matt, it's great to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, a long time since we've actually got to talk, since my career changed. I'm not in that aspect anymore, but we used to talk a little bit on the phone, and I always appreciated people in emergency services, whether it's EMA, EMS, fire, sheriff's office, whatever, call them with questions. You know, the only way you develop and learn more is you ask questions, right?
Sure, absolutely.
So you never hesitate to call, and I always enjoyed that. So I do want our folks that listen to get to know you a little bit better, Matt. I know the people in White County know you well and around the area, but let's talk about you for a minute. Did you grow up in White County?
I did. Born and raised. Come from my mother's side of the family was from the northern end of the county, and my father's side of the was from the southern side of the county. So I guess you could say best of both worlds, I guess.
Do you know how they met?
No, I don't really. I mean, not necessarily. I think they're more so mutual friends. And born and raised, went all the way through elementary school, graduated White County, class of 98. Still there to this day. Still live in the southern part on a family farm down in that area.
Yeah. So. We're the same age, Matt.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, 98 Upperman High School, 98 White County.
Good year.
Yeah, good year. So at what point, I mean, being from White County, growing up there at a young age or even through high school, did you notice or pay attention to EMA or EMS or fire and all that? Was there something then that struck a chord with you that you said, hey, I might want to do that one day?
So I always think, like, growing up, I was always taught by parents and grandparents that you help your neighbors. You know, it didn't matter if hay was to get up, tobacco, or crops were to come in, or somebody was sick at church, you always done something to help your neighbors. And I can tell you kind of how it happened for me. I guess as a young boy growing up, we're all attracted to lights and sirens and trucks and cars and whatnot. But when it really hit with me is I remember in high school there was a packet sent out, and I think it was through the Boy Scouts of America, and and then I think the Girl Scouts sent out one too, and it said to fill out your interest. And, you know, and I can remember some of the questions being, do you like the outdoors? Do you like camping and rappelling and so forth? And you answered that, and you sent that back in, and I got an invitation card in the mail to for the city of Sparta Fire Department through their Fire Explorer program, and that would have been 94-95. So it gave a time and date when to show up if you were interested, and I remember getting taken down there when I was 15 and got a tour of the station, met some of the guys, and I don't know whether it went north from there or south from there, but here we are today, and I'm still in emergency services. So that's kind of how it started. Started as an explorer, graduated high school as a volunteer, and then in 2000, still volunteered. And then in 2005, I decided that I would try to start pursuing a full-blown career in fire services. So on to get the EMT and then the advanced EMT, and then finally in 2010-11, I got hired career-wise through the city of Sparta.
Okay.
So close to my 15 year there.
Yeah.
And then 4 years ago, I've always worked as most emergency services people do, always worked a part-time job on your days off. And then had to do a little bit of a change there and slow down a little bit. So I decided to get something maybe with a little bit more office work instead of so much physical labor on my days off, because we used to do construction and whatnot. And White County decided to hire it's a full-time position as far as answering the phone and on call, 24/7, 365, is just part-time compensation. So for the emergency management director and fire coordinator for the county. So 4 years ago, I applied for that position and was blessed and awarded or hired or elected into that position, and have served in that position along with my being a captain at the city of Sparta Fire Department.
So I got so many questions, and that's a good thing. That's why you're here, because I like to ask questions. And I like to talk about real life stuff, too. You had mentioned growing up, you know, we would help our neighbors, right?
Absolutely.
And not expect anything in return.
Absolutely.
If somebody needed some tobacco cut or some hay hauled or some wood cut, whatever, we would do it. And so I don't think I don't have kids, but from what I can tell, I don't think times are the same. They, you know, now they want to be paid for everything, right? So I remember when I was growing up, my friend Bubba, Randy Randolph, called one day and called three of us, said, hey, I need some help cutting tobacco tomorrow. and cutting and spiking. So, you know, we just went, right? And our payment was lunch by his granny. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, that was the best payment I could have gotten.
Absolutely.
And that's just, times are different now, you know? But that, but we grew up in the same time, and we grew up in the same kind of culture where you would go and help somebody. And, yeah, the only payment you might have gotten was a chocolate pie or some supper or some dinner or some whatever. But that was really worth it, you know? And so I miss those days.
Absolutely. I do, too.
Yeah, I think it's – anyway, I got off on a rant there. But I think it's important to talk about those things because you and I agree at the same time. So you, I love the fact that the city of Sparta had a Fire Explorer program in the mid-90s. And it makes us sound a little bit old, I guess, Matt. But at the same time, they were focusing on – they knew they needed more people, right? And they were – and to get more people, they had to lay a foundation with the youth.
Sure.
And so you – went and it's like, oh, this would be, I think I'd like to do this. I think that's wonderful. So can, you know, city is part of it. Y'all still do that?
They don't do a junior program or an explorer program anymore. I think that's probably where we're headed in this conversation and maybe further on down. But, you know, that goes back to having enough people to do the jobs that's there. And it takes volunteers or people that's willing to do that. And, you know, there's certain criteria when it's run through there. But now several departments do have what we would classify as a junior firefighter program, which pretty well mimics that explorer program. And some places still call them explorers. I think you said it perfect. I think foundation and laying that foundation. I think maybe as a society we say, well, what about this? What about the younger generation? You know, well, you have to invest in them. And I had a leader, manager, boss one time ask me, he said, where do you see yourselves in 10 years? And I said, across the desk. And it was before I got in the fire service. I said, well, preferably across the desk where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it's my job to train you to put you here.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you'll take care of him, and then he'll take care of you, or vice versa, she, you know. So I think if we work to start laying that foundation, you know, we have to be partially the blame for that also as a society, more so than just putting all the blame on a person or self.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's especially in public safety.
Right.
Where we fear there's not enough people that want to do that anymore, right? And that includes all fire, EMA, EMS, law enforcement. We worry sometimes that there's not enough people to step in to fill those roles to help keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so having programs like that, I think, are valuable. And I just – that makes me happy with the programs. And now, of course, you're – and I do want to talk about your time at the city of Sparta because that's still your career, right?
Absolutely. That's my full-time job. That's what I'm dedicated to 100% as far as – I mean, that's where I have to be. You know, that's where that's what requires me to be there. It's my full time. That's my career. You know. That's.
Well, I think it's a testament to you as a person, though. 4 years ago, you said the position of EMA director was vacant, and you applied knowing that you would be on call 24/7, no matter what the instance. But you would not be compensated that, and you knew that going in. It's not like you were surprised and. Denny Wayne, the county mayor, said, "Oh, by the way, you know, it's just part time pay." You knew that going in.
That's right.
And I think it's a testament you wanted to serve. And I, of course, I understand. I'm sure your folks at the city, when you're on call at the fire, you know, they know your role, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They know that if I'm on shift there, that I have people that I can pick the phone up and call, and if there's a situation in the county, and rely on those people if I'm at my full time or at my full-time position.
Yeah, and I want to talk about your team later, how you all work together, and course coordination with other agencies. But on the fire side, what's your position at the fire now?
So at the city of Sparta, I'm labeled as a captain with the city of Sparta, and then with the county, they have the fire coordinator position, which basically. So some funding, I know, you know, there's a lot of different rules and regulations as far as what's coming down from the state comptroller's office through the state of Tennessee as far as just writing checks to nonprofits and they're wanting that to be run through government organization and have accountability and POs and requisitions and so forth. So some of the volunteer fire department's funding runs through the EM department. It's in a totally separate, different line item, can only be used for fire rescue services. It's labeled or set up that way in a resolution by the county governing body. And basically what happens with that is I'm just kind of the liaison on the lingo as far as the logistics of it. So, you know, as far as keeping the finance director, Mr. Chad Markham, and the county mayor, Denny Wayne, keeping them abreast on what that equipment is. You know, making that decision as far as if the fire department calls a fire chief from another department in the county, which we're set up a little bit different. White County doesn't have a total White County fire department. We have individual community fire departments, North End Fire Department, Cassville, Central View, Dole, Bondi Croft, so forth, Hickory Valley, Cherry Creek, and those are all set up individual organizations as nonprofits. So what those chiefs will do is they'll call and they'll say, hey, Matt, XYZ, we would like to purchase said equipment with the county funds. I'll order it, put the PO with it. It runs through the finance office. Total accountability, total transparency, total public record. Everything's visual for everybody, whoever would want to see.
Yeah.
And that's good. You know, and especially in today's time, that's one thing that people want to see is that transparency. You know, they want to know where their dollars going, because dollars are so hard to come by these days. So
transparency and internal controls has been so huge the last 10 years or so in county government. It's been state government. It's been huge.
Absolutely.
And so the state in 2016 made it official for counties to be more transparent with internal controls and those processes. And unfortunately, we still have counties and departments that are committing fraud. But this has slowed down that. So anyway, we'll talk more about I want to know more about the volunteer fire department when we come back. Here with Matt McBride, the EMA director for White County. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back. Matt McBride, the EMA director in White County, and so much more we've talked about. Matt is a full-time captain for the City of Sparta Fire Department and wears a lot of hats for the county and city, and we're getting to know Matt. But Matt, you had mentioned before we broke about the coordination or the structure, I guess we should say, of the volunteer fire departments in White County. White County does not have a full-time fire department. See, this part, of course, does. White County does not. You said it's made up of the volunteers, but you are the fire chief or the coordinator.
Fire coordinator
mm-hmm, yeah. for the county.
Mm-hmm, that is
I say chief because there's some actually, you know, some counties designate somebody as a fire chief over the volunteer fire departments. But you brought up a great topic. It's very polarizing these days with volunteer fire departments. They're needed. It's a great thing. But then on the other side, there's been some across the state where the donations and the money the fire departments have raised for volunteers have been abused, you know, mm-hmm. through theft or fraud, whatever. And so the comptroller is cracking down on that. You have a great system in place. Every volunteer fire department's calling you or letting you know they're making a requisition for a purchase order, and you're sending that to the finance director of the county. He's purchasing the stuff for you all. There's verification process, and it really limits the amount of fraud that can happen, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think we have a really good group. We've got real good volunteer fire chiefs, and a lot of those fire chiefs have been in place for several years, and you know, and have a good working relationship with each other. And this extra money that has been allocated to the fire departments now from here on out will be distributed that way that we were discussing earlier, you know, through EM and through a request for those funds. And it's not a situation where we limit necessarily, or we say, no, you can't purchase that. I mean, we have a really good group of volunteer fire departments that are purchasing the right equipment and trying to standardize, I guess, as far as a county as a whole, you know, everybody getting in the same SCBAs, which is our breathing apparatus that we wear into structure fires, nozzles, hose package. When we purchase things, we try to do group purchasing, save money, save on shipping, mm-hmm. so forth. So we're starting to see that come together in a bigger picture all across the county, which is great. I mean, when you're, you know, I think that's one thing that taxpayers would appreciate. Is when you're trying to be good stewards of money, of their money.
Sure.
You know, so.
Absolutely. I think that, and they look for that, right?
Absolutely.
That's very, people see that and they pay attention to it. Do the volunteer fire chiefs, you're the fire coordinator for the county, mm-hmm. so do you go out and have conversations with them about, you know, what are your needs? What's the most pressing matter you have in this community for your volunteer fire department? Do you have those conversations?
Yeah, we have. We have still what we would classify as a fire association meeting about every quarter, and that's the fire chiefs coming together. And then they discuss just different things, what they have going on in their department, what maybe some things that we maybe need to look at, you know, standardizing some of our water shuttle as far as our tanker tenders, just different things, getting all of our pump tests. Now the county does all of our pump tests, which is a ISO requirement and an FPA requirement. We do all that together now. You know, that's set up through me. You know, we make the phone call, get the place. All that's paid through by the county. Different testing that we should be doing on some of our equipment is done that same way. So slowly but surely, we're just trying to chop away at it piece by piece to make sure that we're all kind of standardized and we're doing things together instead of having a company come 6 to 8 times a year to the county. Now they're coming once, yeah. And we get to save on mileage and travel time and so forth. So
I think that's great. Of course, the state has recognized a need for rural counties and areas to have volunteer firefighters, and then their awareness has went to the county commissions in a lot of counties where they've ponied up some more money for volunteers. Mm-hmm. They said, all right, we're going to designate $50,000 a year for the volunteer firefighters and the departments for them to purchase equipment or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've seen counties do that, and I think it's important. Are you all still having a hard time getting volunteers?
Yes. That I kind of anticipated that question for today, and that's one of the first questions everybody wants to know. And the answer to that is yes, but we're not the only organization. Churches, food booths at the fair, project graduation, ball teams. I mean, I've friends that have coached ball that's never even played ball before because their kids are playing, and it's because they can't find volunteers to help coach the kids. So I think volunteering as a whole is down. I will say this, though. We talk about how volunteering is down, and I've been on several tornado deployments, storm deployments, into both wildfires in East Tennessee. When Tennessee needs to show out, Tennessee will show out. It's a volunteer state for a reason.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I witnessed it. I was up here in Cookeville. I was with 2 weeks later. We were in the southwest part of White County, DeKalb County a few years back, Hardy's Chapel several years ago. You name it, I've been across this state on different deployments, and Tennessee will show out and show up, along with other states. And we've been good to jump and go and run to every other state. But as a whole, on a day-to-day basis, yes, call volumes are up. The price of equipment is up, which causes for more fundraisers, and you're asking more of someone, you know, every day, free, volunteer your time. And volunteering is down.
Yeah, and I don't know if we know the answer to that or the problem to that. Why is it down? I think people's time is, I guess they put a more emphasis on other things they want to do with their time. You know, service is hard sometimes, you know.
Service is hard.
It's hard because it's not because we don't want to do it. We do it because we want to, but it is time consuming. And then sometimes people are not appreciative, and it does affect why am I here. Why am I doing what I'm doing when somebody just cussed me out over something really small? But you're here and you do it because you want to do it, and you're the person to do it. There's nobody else stepping up to do it, right? So volunteers, I think, especially in the fire department, are needed. And I think when the county commissions across the state are ponying up more money to help volunteer firefighters, it'll attract hopefully more people to be there.
I think so. When it relieves some of that stress maybe of, what do we buy or what do we do without before we buy? You know, do we let our gear go past our expiration date to save money, to keep money in the bank? If we can relieve some of that stress, and it is, that's exactly what it is, it's stress. Well, we didn't make but $1,000 off our breakfast fundraiser. We didn't make but $2,000. Our goal was $4,000. Now what are we going to do? You know, last year, the county commission came up, and we actually got $50,000 for the purchase of fire equipment. And that's strictly to what it's supposed to be used for, divided between the departments, which was $5,000 per department. This year, the county commission, we were fortunate enough to get another $50,000, which that's now it's up to a total of $100,000 within that line item.
That's great.
It's absolutely great. Yeah. And even though that is a small penny compared to what some things cost, in the fire service and EM service, ambulances, police cruisers, so forth, rescue, it still goes a long way, and it still eases a lot of financial stress off the fire departments.
Yeah, and I think I'm thankful for county commissions that recognize the need, right? And mm-hmm. and because there's constituents in Putnam County, the calls I get the most are about public safety,
mm-hmm.
which is either fire, ambulances, EMA, whatever, mm-hmm. and then county roads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get a lot of calls about schools. Maybe because our school systems and our school system is great, but maybe it's their focus. So those are the calls I get. And our commission, like Watt County Commission, has done a really good job recognizing the need there. And if we don't put that effort into for you all, then you think we don't care, and then you're like, well, what's the point? You know,
why? It's kind of a ripple effect.
It is.
I've never known as a kid to throw a rock in a puddle and it only make one ripple.
Yeah,
it always goes to the edge. No matter how big the puddle is,
that's
or how
right.
big the pond is,
it always goes there. So right. I, that's a great point. I'm with Matt McBride, White County EMA director, and so much more. He's also a captain for the City of Sparta Fire Department. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome, Matt McBride, the emergency management director for White County. Does a great job there. Also serving as captain of the City of Sparta Fire Department. Matt, let's talk EMA. You said 4 years ago you applied and was hired as the EMA director, which is compensated part-time pay, but it's a on-call 24/7 full-time position. As EMA director, and you mentioned last segment, you have, and you would do this with not being EMA director, but volunteered to natural disasters, tornadoes, fires. It's something that you've been a part of in your career. And EMA in White County, what kind of team do you have? I know you're a part-time position, but what kind of team do you have access to when there is an emergency in White County, where there's a wreck or there's a fire or there's something? You have a team you can rely on?
Yeah. So we're a little bit different of a unique dynamic, and there's other counties that are like us, like I mentioned in the segment before, is our fire departments are set up by individual community fire departments, all great. All have their kind of their, I would say, specialty. Some of them are trained in certain situations better than others, or different emergencies, which is good because you don't always have the same emergency. You know, there's no two emergencies that are alike. I guess my first order of business to kind of go along with is I felt like we had to try to explain to people what EM is kind of there for. And what I learned as being an EM director, I've been involved with emergency management some just throughout the years in the fire service and being on deployments outside of our county and whatnot. But as far as the whole total package of what they did, I'd never been heavily involved with. I never was active necessarily with our EM department back from day to day. So, you know, that consists of LEPC meetings and trying to bring different emergency organizations together and get everything kind of consolidated and everybody on the same incident command platform. And we have started doing that right out the gate, and we have became better at that each time there's an incident, which is something for White County and Sparta to be very, very proud of, because if you're improving, you're moving forward, no matter if it's small steps or big steps.
Right.
And so then the people that I rely on is I do have a few people that volunteer with the EM organization. So when I am on shift with the City of Sparta, that I can reach out to if I'm outside or if I'm out of town or gone on vacation or so forth. And those people they're trained in different disciplines. You know, we look for somebody that has some type of structural collapse, some type of incident command, some type of fire. I mean, you never know that incident, some type of specialized rescue training. And all that group works together amongst the rest of the organizations. Now, we have some community partners that I rely on very, very heavily. You know, storm damage, structure damage. I work very, very close with our Mennonite community. They've been very, very good to me and very, very good to White County and the EM organization. Drop of a hat. I mean, just all it takes is a phone call, and they're so much so that they have lumber trailers. I've worked with them as far as getting lumber trailers, power tool trailers, generator trailers, and they have that stuff readily available for us to be utilized at our demand. Not to mention with some state resources, state health, kind of got on board with them. Started a working relationship with Candace and them, Michael Cooper, which has been good, really good to us. And then, of course, your state team organization also. So we had – it was a learning curve for me, because at the time that I took over for EM, TEMA developed a new region. So they used to have east, middle, and west, and now they have east, southeast, middle, and west. And we're the northernmost county in the southeast region. So as they were building that, I was brand new into it. So it's been a pretty big learning curve, but I've met a lot of good people. We've, I guess you would say, repaired a lot of bridges mm-hmm. and built some new ones mm-hmm. and made a lot of good contacts. And I would like to think that our EM program is far more advanced than what it was 4 years ago, but we still have a lot of room for improvement each day.
Yeah, and of course, I love that view of it, but you have a lot of – it takes a team, right?
Absolutely.
To be successful, to do things.
Absolutely.
And we've already talked about how well the commission has been in taking responsibility of funding the volunteer fire department. Are they contributing enough for you to operate as an EMA? I mean, you have to have funds to do things as an EMA director. Mm-hmm. And you have your own budget in the county. It's under civil service, under mm-hmm. the charter accounts by the comptroller's office. And you mentioned that there's a line in there for the volunteer fire departments. I'm sure the county commission's aware of what you need too, right?
Yeah, they've been really good to work with. We have, like I said, it's been a challenge, of course,
sure.
Because it's kind of been a new department. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was hired, I went to the mayor and the finance director, and I said, what do you want this to look like? And they said, because it basically was new. I mean, we had had emergency management in the past, but as far as it being compensated and structured and having an office and so forth, and they said, well, we kind of got an idea by asking, but we want you to kind of, and that's what I've done. They have never pulled me back in and said, no, don't do this, or that's not the direction we want you to go. I feel like they want the department to help and be, and try to prepare our community to the best that, one, I can and that funds will allow me to do. Are there room for improvement for funds? Absolutely, as every department, whether it be fire, EM, yeah. roads, schools, so forth. But we are getting there.
Do you all have an extrication truck?
With the rescue squad runs there. We have a full Sparta-White County Rescue Squad. Very, very good organization. They have two fully staffed extrication trucks, and then now we have two fire engines within the county. Three fire engines within the county. That's full rescue trucks, I guess you would say rescue pumpers or rescue engines also within the county, with a full complement of tools too.
So, now, are you the direct contact or supervisor for the rescue squad?
No, okay. They actually have a chat. They actually have a fire. They are, I'm sorry, not a fire chief, but a rescue chief.
Okay.
Mr. Emerton, he's a really good guy. They have an assistant chief. They have a whole command staff. I do work very close with them. And we do work very hand to hand. They're also one of those resources that are readily yeah. available. Yeah. Very good to work with.
How do you bring more awareness to your community about EMA, Matt? I mean, growing up, I didn't know there was a difference between EMA, EMS, and fire, right? I was just growing up, didn't know. How do you bring awareness to the folks in the county and say, hey, EMA, this is our purpose. This is why we're here.
Well, one, probably the fastest way to do it is the way what me and you are doing right here.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
In a steering committee meeting or a county commission meeting, there's a lot of business that usually has to happen. Now, you know just as well as I do. Sometimes it's hard to get work sessions together just to address one subject. And budget meetings are not the place for that to happen either,
sure.
because there's other lines of business to do. Social media can and cannot be.
Right.
I'm not a huge social media person, but information, education, trying to get education out, probably one of my biggest advocates has been some of the people in the volunteer fire service and rescue service.
Yeah.
The city of Sparta has been really good to work with me. The city administrator, Ms. Tony Tindall, and Mayor Jerry Larry has been exceptional to work with. We have a text messaging base when it's storm time and so forth. LEPC meetings have been really good about getting information out to community leaders. And then, of course, we all know that community leaders touch the public.
Yeah.
In different ways. So I think LEPC meetings have been really good for us too.
Okay. So when a disaster happens in the county, let's just say it's a natural disaster, fire, tornado, what's the first thing that happens? What's the steps when you a tornado's touched down in White County? What's the first thing that happens? I mean, you're the lead for response, right?
Sure. Yes. And so the first thing usually is we try to pre-plan them if we can.
Sure.
I mean, if we know that there is a possible storm coming or whatever, working with the 911 director, Ms. Susie Haston, has been great too. She's me and her have a really good working relationship as far as trying to spin up like a partial EOC to try to pre-plan those incidences. And also outside of that, probably the first step is if we know the area of the county, I'll start reaching out to the local fire chiefs and local fire departments and saying, hey, you know, what do you guys have available? Are you guys planning on staffing a station? Because they're volunteer.
Right.
You put guys planning on standing by, and can you start putting a team together? And they'll say, yes, I have six for immediate response. Everybody's listening. And that's usually the first step. If we get hit by surprise, usually the first step is immediately partially EOC, depending on damage, and then get eyes on what we've got going on. And as soon as we get that, that's where we start laying the groundwork. And then if we have structural damage, it goes back to those community partners, those emergency services that we rely on in our training. Then once we get the initial deployment out, then it's time to bring in the second deployment and start spinning up for sometimes maybe even a multi-day or multi-week incident.
I'm guessing if something happens, you don't have to call other counties. They're already coming, right?
Pretty much. So the State Fire Service has TMAS, which is a state fire mutual aid. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you're familiar with
Kevin
that.
Lauer helped with all that. Yeah. Let's talk bad about Kevin. How about it? I'm just kidding, Kevin. I love Kevin.
Yeah, I do too. And it would be, I mean, you don't. I mean, so here's the deal. Running through those organizations, it's the same way here. You know, I mean, I remember when I got the phone call, it's my first phone call. I picked up the phone and called Chief Brown. I said, hey, Chief, how bad is it? And he said, I'm crawling out of a crawl space. And I said, we're on the way.
Yeah.
That was before our 911 system had ever picked the phone up and said, hey, and sent the page out
right. Or
requested for mutual aid. Van Buren County, Putnam, Cumberland, DeKalb, all those, Overton. The Upper Cumberland is very exceptional at that.
Yeah.
I spoke to some guys. We had a water deployment to Chattanooga one time, and they called us Team Upper Cumberland. When we went to the second wildfires in East Tennessee, they called Team Upper Cumberland. I heard somebody say, well, here comes Team Upper Cumberland because we're one team. And a lot of times you can't tell the difference between who they are, and that should give the public in the Upper Cumberland something to be very proud of.
That's Matt, that's great, and that's a good way to end this show. I appreciate your time. Matt McBride, White County EMA Director, thank you for your service.
Thank you all, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for being
thank
here.
You guys
folks,
for
remember,
me.
It's a lot easier to smile. It is a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. Love on them, don't hate. See you next time.